Well, hello and welcome to Binge Watch, the podcast where we take a look at the hottest new TV and film releases on streaming television platforms. I'm Hannah Fernando, the group editor of Woman and Woman and Home magazine.
And I'm Ian McEwan, writer on What's on TV, TV Times and TV and Satellite Week magazines. And today we're looking at the new releases that will be available on Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. Including Tom Hollander as Truman Capote in the return of Ryan Murphy's Disney Plus anthology Feud and the new Netflix natural history series Our Living World.
And we'll also be checking out retro sitcom Mammoth on BBC iPlayer and seeing Adrian Edmondson's bottom exposed on Gold. But first, Ian, what is in the news?
In Bear Grylls' new Netflix reality show Bear Hunt, hosted by Holly Willoughby, yes, famous faces will attempt to survive in the Costa Rican jungle, where they'll undertake various challenges and be hunted by Bear Grylls. What else is in the news, Hannah?
In Imperfect Women on Apple TV Plus, Elizabeth Moss and Kerry Washington will star as two women who become embroiled in a complex mystery that puts their relationship to the test.
Pretty decent selection for you this week. I would say we're going to start on Disney Plus with a new series that arrived on Wednesday the 17th of April. It's called Feud, Capote versus the Swans. And here's a clip.
That perfume she wears, too much for a woman with her face.
And the stories one hears with secrets and lies.
It's the best thing I've written.
You have to pull this. These are portraits of friends who have shared their deepest secrets with you. Why would you want to hurt them?
This is what a writer does.
8 episodes to this one. And as the title suggests, it is about the American writer Truman Capote, or Capote, depending on your preference, who, of course, wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, famously. And it stars our own Tom Hollander. Now, we were talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman recently, weren't we, in connection with the film The Talented Mr. Ripley, in which he was very, very good as Freddy. And of course, in the new Netflix adaptation, that role is played by the child of Sting and Trudy Styler. Hoffman was a great actor, and another role he undertook was Truman Capote in the film Capote. And he was very, very good in that. Hollander has got big shoes to fill by taking this on, but I have to say he does a very good job. So this is the second installment in Ryan Murphy's Feud anthology. And the feud in question is between Capote. I mean, if you've either watched the film or seen any footage of Capote or heard his voice, he's got a very distinctive kind of high-pitched, quite camp voice, quite distinctive looking as well in his dress. So a challenging character to portray, I think, but Hollander does a great job. Anyway, he was friends with this group of high society women that he called the Swans because on the surface they were like immaculately groomed and their lives seemed perfect, but there was a lot going on in their private lives, and so under the surface they were paddling away desperately. Callista Flockhart plays Lee, sister of Jackie Kennedy. You've got Demi Moore, yes, as Anne Woodward, who Capote suggests murdered her husband. Naomi Watts as Babe Paley, who confided about her husband's affairs. And Diane Lane, Molly Ringwald and Chloe Sevigny are all in there too. So impeccable cast. And yes, as is the case with these things, it does flash back and forth a little bit. So Capote, he famously wrote this book, I think it was called In Cold Blood, about a real life sort of true crime case, and he sort of befriended the killer who was in prison, and he's looking for something to follow that up in one sort of setting. And he decides that these amazing stories that he's getting from these high society women, he's going to sort of turn them into fictional stories, but because it's quite evident who they are actually about, this is what sparks the feud. So I've watched episode 1. I thought it was really, really good. I mean, Hollander is, he's such a great actor anyway. We knew that already, but he is terrific in this incredibly challenging role. He's utterly believable. I thought it was a delight. I don't really know that much about Truman Capote anyway, so I found it really interesting as well. What did you think, Hannah?
Well, I didn't know much either. And so you learn quite a lot from this, don't you? And actually, plays the character so well. It feels really, really genuine and authentic, doesn't it? And you know, when he's kind of banished from this circle of friends and kind of frozen out, and seeing him go in spiral essentially into complete decline, you're kind of with him every step of the way, and although perhaps what was done wasn't right, you feel it's unjust or unjust for him, and you feel that injustice, I should say, for him. But it's just it's quite an emotional roller coaster, I thought. Really well done. And as you say, a star-studded lineup. Great names. Naomi Watts, absolutely brilliant as well. And I just, as I say, I felt like I came away learning something, and just seeing how you can go from hero to zero in every industry, but particularly this one pretty quickly.
We're going to move over to Netflix for our next selection, which is a new natural history documentary series which arrived on Wednesday the 17th of April. It's called Our Living World, and here's a clip.
From the densest forests to the deepest oceans to the hottest deserts, everything is connected through the vast web of life.
Can you see? The time has come.
And now, for the first time, we're going to reveal how.
Yeah, this is really, really lovely. I think we've got to kind of know the David Attenboroughs of the world and what they produce, and just kind of the amazing exposure that we, or the stuff that we can see through his lens that takes years often to get and put together. And it seems to be a kind of real sweet spot at the moment. People are massively interested, I suppose, in a world that's feels like it's spontaneously combusting. You know, it's kind of, you look to nature and you always learn something. And I guess this is kind of capitalizing on that to a degree. Now, it is different. It's voiced by Kate Blanchett. And it looks at the connections between the earth and nature and the different species, and how actually we're all fundamentally and intrinsically linked. And it's quite nicely done. So it kind of opens up, and I think you've got a rhino walking through the streets, and you see, obviously, I would imagine some kind of AI or something's gone on to allow a lot of that to happen. But the idea is that we're so different and our natural habitats are so different, actually we are, as I say, kind of intrinsically linked. And she's got a really Kate Blanchett, I think, does a really good job of this, because she's got a really sort of calm voice. As I say, we're very used to hearing David Attenborough, aren't we? And if anyone else kind of even goes near that territory, it's easy to say, well, they're not as good. But actually, I think she, I don't know, she just brings some kind of sort of a peaceful tone to her voice, I would say. And it's very, very interesting. It's showing the power of nature, and just seeing how we work with nature and how we should work with nature. And I suppose, as we all know, the damage that we are actually doing in our planet every day to that nature. But I mean, I absolutely love documentaries like this. It's a 4-part series. I've just seen the first one. But I really enjoy it, because you really learn something. And I do think that it is that little bit different as well, which I think I was watching thinking, you know, my children would like to watch this. They'll enjoy this. This is interesting. This will capture them too. Lots of very sweet footage of, you know, little baby animals and little, you know, it kind of... And also, I think the other thing I was going to say was the music is quite moving, which often with these documentaries they are. But no, I think very good. What do you think, Ian?
Well, unfortunately for the makers of Our Living World, that sequence that you talk about, which is in episode one, which is one of the most amazing bits of wildlife footage I've ever seen. And it is genuine. It is a rhino walking through this town.
Town
in Nepal. And it's walking through to get from sort of one feeding ground to another. And it happens on a regular basis. That was shown in Planet Earth 3 not so long ago. So, and I do think in terms of sort of wildlife sequences, we're kind of getting to the stage now where stuff is being repeated. I guess it's inevitable. Anyway, that's unfortunate, but it's still, if you hadn't seen Planet Earth 3, that is just, it's walking through down this busy street past shops with like motorbikes and cars and pedestrians going past. It's amazing. I liked they always have to come up with what's our theme going to be for this natural history series? How are we going to link these sequences together or choose, what we're going to go out and shoot? And I think this idea of connectivity works quite well. However, I mean, you talked about Blanchett and she's fine. I would say we've been spoiled with Attenborough, of course. And whoever wrote the script for this narration, it's just, certainly to my ears, when I'm used to Attenborough doing it very straight, there's a point where there are two hippos are fighting and this male that is trying to muscle in, they describe it. He's about as welcome as a Band-Aid in a hot tub. And I'm like, this is not, no. But the footage is very, very good, especially the rhino is quite remarkable. And people who like these landmark wildlife series will very much enjoy it. Arriving on Thursday, the 18th of April, on Gold, we have a new one-off documentary called Bottom Exposed. Yes, that's rude, isn't it? And here's a clip.
It was a delightful period. I remember just laughing a lot. I wrote quite a lot of Richie and he wrote quite a lot of Eddie because we were in love with each other's characters.
A one-off special celebrating the cult comedy classic, Bottom Exposed, coming soon to Gold.
So this is a look back into the wonderful sitcom Bottom, starring Adrian Edmondson and the late, great Rick Mayall. They made 18 episodes between 1991 and 1995. It also spawned some sellout stage shows. And I think it's fair to say that, apart from the young ones, which, of course, they were both in as well, there's never really been anything else like it on TV. And I don't think there will be again. I mean, it's hard to, as they say in the show, it's hard to imagine it getting commissioned today. So it's about these two friends, Richie and Eddie, who are flatmates, and they're both kind of desperate to get girlfriends. They're just a couple of losers. They live in this really grubby, grimy flat, and a lot of it is just this amazing slapstick violence, quite extraordinary. And of course, they're both brilliant comic actors in terms of sort of playing grotesques. And there's lots of talking heads in this, people who worked on the show, people who guested on it. There's a very good episode with Helen Lederer in it, and she talks about being in the show. They were good friends, of course, and it's interesting to see like pictures of them when they met at Manchester University as well. It was a much-loved show. I mean, weirdly, my dad really likes it, which is just astonishing to me. And they go to the bench in Hammersmith, where they shot the opening titles of the two of them sitting on a bench. And I remember listening to Adrian Edmondson hosts it, really, and they get him on a sort of recreation of the set, and they interview him, and he also goes to various different places and talks to various different people. He's great, very charming. And Rick Mayall, I mean, just watching him, it's a reminder of what an incredible, larger-than-life talent we lost when he died. But yeah, so great to watch this and be reminded of Bottom and just maybe want to go and watch some episodes of it, which I'm sure Gold will be showing as well. What did you think, Hannah?
Well, I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't really know much about it. So it's kind of, I wonder whether it takes you a trip down memory lane if you were invested slightly originally in it or knew of it or have watched it on Gold previously. And I hadn't, but I did look into it afterwards. And I do think you always learn something from this, you know, as you say, how it made its way onto TV, how it stayed there as long as it did, and kind of the un-PC things they did and the things that, you know, things they said and you couldn't do anymore. And I think that people will really, because obviously it was massive at the time, will really enjoy that. And also into friendships and how it all works. And I think anything like that, where you're learning something and bringing back something that clearly was iconic at the time, can only be a good thing.
Talking of comedy, well, we have a new comedy series arriving on Wednesday the 17th of April on BBC Two and as a box set on BBC iPlayer. It's called Mammoth. And here's a clip.
So there I was, frozen under the ice. I came back from the dead.
He hasn't talked for half a century.
Two words, British bulldog.
We can't talk about this tomorrow because you ran over my son.
Just clipped him.
Next window.
My next window's tomorrow night. Over.
Can't hit on all the mems.
Not just the single ones.
Yes, it's nice to see a new comedy arriving, isn't it? And this should make you giggle to a degree. It's a little bit hammed up in places, but you'd absolutely expect that. So this is a three-part series that is co-written by stand-up comic Mike Bubbins. And it sees him play the part of Tony Mammoth. Now, it's a bit retrospective. You've got in 1979... He was caught up in an avalanche while he was on a school skiing trip and he died. 42 years later, fast forward, and his frozen body is discovered. I mean, none of this is very believable, but bear with. His frozen body is discovered and it's brought back to life and he resumes his life as he was, as a teacher. So if you can imagine teachers in the 70s versus teachers in 2024, slightly different environment, lots of things you can and can't do anymore, and he's just continuing in his old school ways at this school in Wales, and he's had guidance from his very long-suffering mate Roger, but to no avail. And I just think this will hit the funny bone of most people, and particularly if you're kind of, I suppose, of an age where you kind of slightly remember some of the behaviours then and what was acceptable. And, you know, you look at school in these days, and I know my kids are in school, and what teachers just can't do. I mean, it's easy to write what they can do these days, really. But, it's the children running the asylum, I think, half the time. But it is funny. And as I say, I do think it would hit the funny bone of most people. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, to be honest. But yeah, I found it very amusing indeed, I must say. And I am a child of the 70s. And yeah, so it starts off with him back in the 70s on this school ski trip. And it's done in a kind of deliberately quite crappy way to look very fake. But that's fine because it's comedic. And yes, as you say, he sort of thaws out many years later. But he's still 70s man, you know. He wears a medallion, he drives a Ford Capri, he smokes a pipe, and yeah, see, he goes back to teaching, and it's just he's very deadpan the way he plays it. He underplays it a bit, I think, which is good. He describes it as a kind of reverse Life on Mars. Remember that time travel detective series with John Sim? And I think that's a good description of it, actually. And in episode one, they have the parents' evening at the school, and all he's interested in is like copping off with the single parents. So yeah, I thought it was great. I think I really enjoyed it, and I would recommend if you need a laugh. And it's got the lovely Sean Gibson in it as well as one of the mums. And in episode one, oh, there's a shock revelation about her connection to Mr. Mammoth, the PE teacher. Yeah, so whether or not you remember the 70s, I think you'll enjoy this. We've got to that time, Hannah, finally, where we find out what you've been binging on this week.
Oh, you're not going to hear me say it any more times, because it really was the finale, the final. It's over after 20 years. Saturday Night Takeaway, after, I think it was two and a half hours of Saturday Night Takeaway. It's all over. The boys have retired from it, or taking a break from it, resting the show for a little time. So that's my Saturday Night's free again. Also, Meet the Richardsons, because of course they announced that they are divorcing. So I went back and had a look just to see. You wouldn't kind of know it, would you, on screen? And I wonder how that will pan out with everything they're doing. But of course, yeah, I did go back and watch that. How about you?
Well, I had a look at something that we didn't preview. It's called Baby Reindeer. It's on Netflix. And it's about a comedian who is working in a pub who strikes up a relationship with this regular. Well, it's quite peculiar, but check it out. I enjoyed it. And also on Netflix, a film starring Chris Pine from Star Trek and the fabulous Jeff Bridges. It's a sort of crime drama with almost like a slightly Western, contemporary Western flavour about a crime spree with Jeff, a.k.a. the Big Lebowski, as the lawman who's near retirement, who's trying to track down these two armed robbers. We've just got time to look ahead to next week's offerings, Hannah. So what's on the binge watch agenda?
Well, two teenage ghosts and their psychic friend tackle mysteries from beyond the grave in Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix.
And rock icons Bon Jovi look back on a 40-year career in Thank You, Goodnight, The Bon Jovi Story on Disney Plus. So we look forward to those and much, much more. But in the meantime,
watching.